Matthew 14, verse number 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the water, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I want to speak to you on the subject of having faith in the midst of the storm. Before we dive into the message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for this opportunity that we get to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you will just speak to us through your word this evening, Lord. I pray that you'll fill me with your spirit, Lord. I pray that you'll cleanse me from sin, Lord. And I pray that you would only allow me to say what you want me to say, Lord. I pray that you will be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We see from this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter number 14, Jesus has just finished the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, where it was an impressive miracle in itself, where Jesus has fed a whole multitude of people with just 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 very small pieces of fish. And when it was all said and done, Jesus had his disciples gather the fragments of bread and of fish that remained, and they kept it to themselves. And it says that Jesus, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and he sent them before him while he went into a mountain apart to pray. Now, while Jesus was in this mountain and he was praying, the Bible says that it was roughly around the fourth watch of the night. So we can assume that it was probably around 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning, where these disciples were in the middle of the sea. And if you could just imagine it with me, if it was roughly 3 to 6 in the morning, we could probably imagine it was pitch dark. There's no land in sight. The disciples are in a ship. And all of a sudden, the waves start to blow. All of a sudden, the wind is blowing. Perhaps water is getting into the ship. And these disciples were caught in the midst of a storm. To make matters even worse, they look out into the distance and they see a figure walking on the water and they say, great, now we're seeing ghosts. Now we definitely know that we're going to die. Little did they know that it was Jesus walking unto them on the water. And I want you to notice what Jesus says to them in verse number 27. And by the way, what Jesus has to say is more important than the circumstances that we deal with. But Jesus says to him, to his disciples, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Isn't that a unique statement? Isn't that something that in the midst of turbulence or in the midst of dangers and in the midst of uncertainties, that's probably something we wouldn't want to hear. But Jesus says to his disciples, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You see, God wants us to have faith in him when the storms of our life arise. Can I ask you this question? Are you walking in faith in the midst of the storms of your life? Are you trusting in God when there are uncertainties, when there are difficulties, when the waves start to blow, when there's darkness all around? Is your faith still in God in that moment? Today we'll be looking at 3 aspects of what it means to have faith in the midst of the storm. I want you to notice, first of all, as we see an outstanding faith. We see an outstanding faith in verse number 28. It says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus says, come. Once again, we see what these disciples are going through. We know the predicament that they're in. We know that there's darkness all around them. There's no land in sight. The wind is blowing. The waves are crashing into the ship. These disciples were in danger. We see that there was a dangerous circumstance. They were helpless. They didn't know what to do. Some of them were fishermen. They knew what it was like to be on the sea, but in that moment, they had no hope whatsoever. But even in spite of a dangerous circumstance, I want you to notice that there was a faith-filled disciple. There was a faith-filled disciple. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, if it's actually you, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." You see, after Jesus Christ had said, "Hey, it's me, I'm here with you, be of good cheer, I'm here with you in the midst of the storm," Peter, he looks to Jesus and he says, "Lord, if it's actually you, allow me to come unto you on the water." And I want you to notice, when Jesus said, "Come," Peter stepped out of the boat. Peter was out of that ship. You see, Peter decided to display faith in the one who was able to sustain him in the midst of the storm. And at his word, at God's own word, when he said, "Come," Peter walked out of that ship. Even in a situation where his life was in stake, even in a situation where Peter had no control over what was going to happen, he trusted in Jesus Christ. And just as Peter trusted in Jesus Christ, even in the midst of the storm, yes, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we face our own storms in this life. Yes, personally, there might be financial situations that we deal with. There might be health difficulties that we deal with. There might be a certain death of a loved one that was completely unexpected. Or perhaps even on a larger scale, we as believers, we have no control of what goes on in this world. We live in a world that's full of darkness. We live in a world that's full of uncertainties. We live in a world where we have no control over what happens. I think of a couple weeks ago, the president, last month, the month of June, is known by this world as Pride Month. And just this past weekend, the president hosted the Pride Month celebration, and he made this statement, and I quote, "Today I want to send a message to the entire LGBTQ community, especially to the transgender children. You are loved, you are heard, you are understood, and you belong. And as I have made clear in the State of the Union address, your president and entire administration has your back." You see, this is the world we live in. We live in a world full of darkness, a world full of uncertainties. We live in a world where people say right is wrong and wrong is right. We live in a world where homosexuality and abortion and all these different sins of the ages are promoted, and being a follower of Christ is being shunned. Can I tell you, even in spite of all these dangers, even in spite of the storms that arise in our life, God is calling us to come. Hey, he says, hey, even in spite of this danger, even in spite of this darkness, yes, we are all going to go through storms and difficulties and seasons of uncertainties in our life. But let me tell you, when Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And when Jesus says, "Come," we have to display faith in our God, and we need to step out of the boat. I don't know what it is in your life that you're dealing with. Maybe God's calling you to go out and go soul winning. Maybe God's calling you to go deeper in your prayer life. Hey, maybe you're a young person in this church and the Lord wants you to surrender your life into full-time ministry. I don't know about that. I don't know, you know, there's so many uncertainties. I have no control over what's going to happen. Hey, can I encourage you? If God tells you to come, you come. I want you to notice that there were 11 disciples in that ship, and only one of them decided to display faith. I can imagine in this situation, they're in the ship, and Peter says, "Hey, Lord, if it's you, let me come unto you on the water." I can imagine almost what was taking place in the ship. Perhaps Judas was sitting there, and he was holding on to the money bag. Judas was Jesus, it was the treasurer of Jesus' group. And perhaps he says, Lord, you know what? I'm going to stay here in this boat. I don't want this sack of money to get wet. I think I'm fine right here. I can think of Thomas. You know Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Oh, man. Peter's a goner. We just lost one. Peter, you're a goner. You're dead. I'm going to stay right here where I'm safe, where I'm comfortable, where I know I'm not going to die. Hey, in the midst of the storm, only one person decided to display faith in the Lord Jesus. Can I encourage you? There's going to be a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of Christians even, who will decide to stay in the ship, who will choose to be comfortable, who will choose the easy way out. Can I tell you and can I encourage you, be a Christian and be a follower of Christ who will have faith in God. And let me tell you, he will sustain you in the midst of the storm. We see an outstanding faith. Peter had an outstanding faith, but I want you to notice secondly is we see an obstacle of fear. In verse number 30, it says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" I can almost imagine what Peter was going to do here. I can almost imagine he says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee on the water." And when Jesus says, "Come," I can almost imagine Peter perhaps almost holding on to the rail of the ship, testing out the water, and then all of a sudden, "Lord, you're doing, this is amazing." And next thing you know, Peter, he takes the step of faith, and he's looking towards Jesus, and Jesus is sustaining Peter through the midst of the storm, and he's walking. But when he saw the wind boisterous, Peter started well in faith, but let me tell you, there was a shift of focus. Peter turned his attention away from Jesus, the one who was able to sustain him in the midst of the storm, the one who was in control of the whole situation. He turned his focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he turned his focus to the things that he was afraid of. Peter became fearful. Hey, and before we get too harsh, I know some of us are probably thinking here, "Oh man, if that was me, I'd keep my eyes right on Jesus Christ. Man, if that was me, I wouldn't lose my faith. I wouldn't falter." But let me tell you, there are a couple strong men in the faith, who started well and trusted in God and followed his plan, but they became fearful. I think of Abraham in Genesis chapter number 20. Who Abraham, when he was in Gerar, he was traveling in with his wife Sarah, and he tells Sarah, his wife, "Hey, if anybody asks, you're my sister. Hey, because if they want to marry you and they find out I'm your husband, they're going to kill me so they can be your wife. So they can be your husband." But in that moment, Abraham didn't display faith. He was following God. He was trusting in God in that moment. He took his focus off of God and became fearful. I think of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, who just saw a miracle happen. He just witnessed fire come down from heaven. And when God did this miracle in front of the whole nation of Israel, Elijah eliminated the prophets of Baal, and God brought a great victory in Elijah's life. But when Queen Jezebel threatens his life, Elijah flips, runs away. What does Elijah say? He says, "Lord, just take my life away." In that moment, he became fearful. Elijah was following God. He was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. He was obeying God's commandment. But in the moment of fear, he took his focus off of God and he paid attention to his fears. And let me tell you, there are times where there are storms in our lives and we start so well. Perhaps you're walking in faith. Perhaps you're trusting in the Lord in your circumstance and in your situation. And maybe, perhaps you have your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe there came a time where you became fearful. Maybe there came a time where you took your focus off of God and onto things that you became fearful of. I remember in August of 2021, it was my junior year at West Coast Baptist College. The Lord was so good to me. I remember I was able to lead a student-led ministry called the Barnabas Team, which was my privilege. The next summer, I was getting ready to be an intern at Lancaster Baptist Church as the assistant to the music director. It seemed as though Everything was going well, and I had my focus right on God. Felt like God was sustaining me, even in spite of certain uncertainties in my life. It was roughly around the third week of August where my mother texted me, and she said to pray for my brother. My brother had been diagnosed with COVID-19. And I thought to myself, man, my brother is going to survive. My brother was in the Marine Corps. He wasn't an old man. He was in his early 40s. I thought, hey, my brother's got this. I'm going to continue to pray for my brother. I'm going to stay right where I am. I'm going to trust in the Lord in this situation. And so I went about that semester. Fast forward to about the second week of September, I received word from my sister that my brother was in critical condition. And I said, oh man, that's pretty concerning. The whole family, they said, hey, you need to get down to Moreno Valley. Moreno Valley was roughly around 2 hours and 30 minutes from the college. My sister had texted me. She said, the whole family's gonna meet. We're all gonna visit your brother, and we're all gonna pray for him. So I remember I went down into a car, and my friend Chris was driving me down from Lancaster down to Moreno Valley, and we were able to see my brother. We went in two at a time due to the COVID restrictions. But I remember looking at my brother and still continuing to look to God, hope in God, and to trust in God in this whole situation. I said, Lord, I still believe that you can heal him. I still believe that you are in control and that there's nothing too hard for you. So I prayed for my brother as I was outside his hospital room, went back to Lancaster and continue on with the semester. September 29th, I received a phone call from my mother. I remember I was in my dorm room. I came outside of my dorm. I was walking the hall, getting ready to go to choir practice. And as my mother called, she said, AJ, it's time to come home. Your brother has passed away. I remember in that moment, my heart sank, and I did not know what to do. I remember I was just crying and in sorrow, and I ran to my sweet mate's bedroom, and I just gave him a big hug, and I thought to myself, Lord, I thought you were in control. Lord, I thought you could sustain me in this situation. And it felt almost as in that moment, I started to sink. Perhaps the reason why we catch ourselves in a place of desperation, in a place of peril, in a place of spiritual defeat, in a place of hopelessness, is because we take our eyes off of Jesus and we focus on the things that we become fearful of. So we see an outstanding faith. We see an obstacle of fear. But I want you to notice, we see the omnipotent friend. Verse number 31, let's start from verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So we know what Peter was going through. We see that Peter was in a place of peril. We see that his life was on the line and in desperation. And as a final resort, Peter cries out. He says, Lord, save me. And we see in this passage of Scripture, we see a timely saving. The Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. I'm so glad that the Bible says that Jesus, he immediately stretched forth his hand. I'm so glad that whenever we fail and whenever we falter and whenever we take our eyes off of Jesus and we start to sink, I'm so glad that God doesn't say, hey, you failed me too many times today. Hey, you've made too many mistakes today. Hey, you faltered too many times. I'm not going to save you anymore. I'm going to let you drown just a little bit for you to suffer the consequences of your sin. No, Jesus, what he does is he immediately stretches forth his hand and he catches Peter. And I'm so glad that we have a God today that whenever we fail and whenever we falter and whenever we make mistakes, God stretches forth his hand and he catches us and he lifts us back up. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Hey, when we start to sink, we have a faithful God who can pick us back up again. We see a timely saving, but I want you to notice there was also a timely rebuke. Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, well, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Wherefore didst thou doubt? Hey, Peter, when did you start to doubt me? Hey, Peter, when did you take your eyes off of me? When did you lose your trust in me? I'm so glad that we have a God that not only picks us back up and not only saves us whenever we need to be saved, but we have a God who shows us how we can make it right again. And the way that he does it today is he does it through the Word of God. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. Hey, God not only picks us back up again, but he shows us how we can make it right through this book. He doesn't leave us hopeless. He doesn't leave us clueless. Whenever we lack in faith, he shows us, hey, this is what you need to do. Come back to my word. It was about the third or fourth week of September of my junior year. I did not leave college, but I remember I was contemplating just throwing in the towel. I just wanted to throw it all away. I just wanted to give up. And I remember I was outside. I went out my dorm, and there was a basketball court right by my dorm. I love playing basketball, but I remember I was just out there, and I was shooting hoops by myself. And as I was shooting hoops, I remember the tears just started to come down, and I felt defeated. But the way the Lord encouraged me is he brought someone my way. And it was a staff member there at the college, and I remember all he did was just come up to me, and he just gave me a big hug. He says, I don't know what you're going through, but hey, I'm praying for you. And in that moment, he just decided to stick around and just shoot a couple hoops with me. And I felt that was the Lord just encouraging me and just picking me back up again. Through a series of sermons and through a series of messages that I've heard from the Word of God, he just showed me how I can display and trust in him once more. But can I tell you today, hey, you may be in a storm in your life right now. There may be difficulties, there may be uncertainties, there may be darkness all around you. You may start to feel yourself starting to sink. You can call out to Jesus. You can call out to him. Hey, by the way, the God that was able to sustain Peter to walk on the water was the same God that was able to save Peter when he started to sink. Hey, that same God that sustained you in the midst of your storm is the same God that can pick you up again when you start to sink. You can call out to him, and he can rescue you, and he can show you how you can make it right through the Word of God today. Hey, I don't know what you're going through. This is my first time here, but I would have to be naive to assume that all of us were problem-free. All of us are probably going through some difficulties. Can I encourage you to take a step of faith and trust in the Lord with them? Can I encourage you that he's the one that can sustain you in the midst of the storm? Maybe you're good. Maybe you're walking in faith. Maybe you're trusting in the Lord, and you're trusting in him. You're looking to him. But maybe you feel yourself starting to sink. Maybe you feel yourself starting to become, to slide down into a place of defeat. I want to let you know that there is a God who sees what you're going through. And if you call out to him, he can pick you back up again. And he can show you how you can make it right through the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon said this: as sure as God puts his children in the furnace of affliction, God will be with him in it. Where are you in the storm? Where are you in the storms of your life? Are you in the boat, choosing to be comfortable? Did you take a step of faith? Or are you sinking? No matter where you are, you have a God who can sustain you in the midst of the storm, and you have a God who can pick you up when you start. Are you faith-filled? Are you fearful? I tell you, God is always faithful. He can pick you back up and show you how you can make it right again. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I do want to come before you. Lord, I thank you for the word of God that is alive. And I pray, Lord, that no matter what circumstance we're going through, help us to take a step of faith. And if we're sinking, help us to trust in you again. We thank you so much for your word, for that you were glorified in it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All heads are bowed and all eyes are closed in this moment. The altars are open. The Lord has spoken to you this evening about taking a step of faith in the midst of the storm. Let me invite you to come. Display faith in Him. Maybe you're already going through the storm, and maybe you were walking with the Lord Jesus, but maybe you feel yourself in a place where you're starting to sink. Can I encourage you? You can call out to Him this evening, and He can help you through it. Maybe you don't know where you're going to spend eternity if you were to die today. The Bible says that we can know for sure that we can have a home in heaven. If you don't know where you're going to spend eternity and you would like to know where you would spend eternity, the altar is open. You can speak to the pastor. You can speak to one of us from the college team, and we would love to help you.
Spoke to your heart tonight. Maybe convicted you, challenged you tonight to do something. You know, I was thinking about that passage of scripture. I was thinking about that, and the word came to my mind that when it said that Peter began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me," it says immediately Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. And I started to think, you know, sometimes it's not immediate. In that occasion, it was. And I said, how come sometimes the Lord doesn't reach out immediately, or doesn't at least rescue you from your issue immediately? And went back to think, you know, Jesus, it says in Hebrews 13:5, Jesus says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And sometimes maybe the pulling out of the storm or the rescue is not so dramatic as what it was with Peter. And I think about Peter's life. How about when Peter denied Jesus 3 times? It wasn't until days later that Jesus came to him. But he did come to him. And he did not forsake him, did not leave him. Maybe tonight you're at that place and saying, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on." But I want to encourage you tonight that you cry out, you continue to cry out to him, you continue to look to him for what it is that you need, and trust him. Be willing to do what it is he shows you to do.